Hello and welcome to the Scarlet Ibis podcast. I'm Charlie Kehoe and I'll be doing this podcast with Liz. I thought this story was good, but I'm really confused by the allegory and symbolism and all the meanings behind Google and the Scarlet Ibis itself. Like, why is it here? What's it doing?
I thought that it was a good story, but it also wasn't because it was kind of confusing and you had to go really in depth to find all the symbolism and how it can relate to real world things.
Also, if you know where this intro music is from, bonus points to you. So we're going to be looking at the Scarlet Ibis from a thematic lens of shame. And to start us off, we have a quote from Benjamin Franklin. Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame.
I think many people can relate to this quote, especially if you've had a sibling, because sometimes in the heat of the moment, you just do things that can later cause pain or discomfort in the person that you really don't want to be hurt.
Yeah, I definitely get the siblings thing. My twin sister and I have had lots of really dumb arguments over stupid things like toasters and ramen. And looking back, I'm just like, why did I get so angry over this? And it just resulted in us both being just mad for the rest of the day.
This quote also relates to the Scarlet Ibis because in the story, the narrator has a brother. And like most brothers, they don't always agree. And the narrator sometimes thinks that his brother is just a burden that he has to take care of and be responsible for. And so he'll do things that he means in the moment, but later regrets.
And these awful choices eventually lead to his brother's death, which is definitely something to be ashamed of. So to kind of get our podcast started, we're going to start with some 30-second recaps or rants, as I like to call them. So I'll go first. Here we go. So the story takes place in the southern U.S. a long time ago, in like when cotton farmers were a thing, and there's this kid, and we don't know his name, and he has a brother named Doodle, and Doodle has a lot of health issues, like he can't walk for a while, and he has to like carry him everywhere so Doodle can do things, and he really hates it. So, and one day he decides that he's gonna like teach Doodle everything just because he's ashamed of having a crippled brother. And eventually it like there's a spiral of events and Doodle ends up dying from overexertion and
Good try.
Now it's your turn.
So the narrator has a brother. The brother's name was William Armstrong. The family didn't think he was gonna live, so they built a little coffin thinking he had a mahogany wood. But then he did live. But he couldn't walk for a really long time, so the narrator was ashamed of having a brother who couldn't do stuff, and so he decides to teach him how to walk. Well, that succeeds, everybody's happy, woohoo. And then so the narrator's like, hey, I taught you how to walk, I'm gonna teach you how to do everything else. But one day it goes in and it's raining and he dies. And there's a bird.
He failed. Next we have four quotes from the Scarlet Ibis that we're going to analyze using our thematic lens of shame. Our theme statement concerning the author's message about the story is, in James Hurst's short story, The Scarlet Ibis, it is revealed that actions done in anger and pride, no matter the outcome, result in shame.
Our first quote is, Doodle told them, and it was I who taught him to walk, so everyone wanted to hug me, and I began to cry. Doodle walked only because I was ashamed of having a crippled brother. This is found on page 347. I think this relates to our theme of shame, because the narrator taught Doodle to walk because of his embarrassment and anger of having a disabled brother. Although this is a good outcome, it brought the narrator shame of his self-centeredness, and ultimately...
Like it says earlier in the story, the narrator is just really tired of having to drag Doodle around in a cart, and I can see how that would be annoying, but eventually Doodle just turns into almost like a hobby or something to be proud of rather than a human being to the narrator. And Doodle becoming able to walk is a good outcome, but that doesn't mean how it was carried out was good. Like, and especially the whole good outcome, bad purpose. Pride is really just something that can do both harm and good. And I feel like this quote really highlights that. Our second quote from the Scarlet Ibis is, I began to believe in my own infallibility. I would teach him to run, swim, to climb trees, and to fight. He, too, now believed in my infallibility, So we set the deadline, less than a year away. So the narrator at this point has already taught him to walk, and for whatever reason, that just isn't enough for him. He doesn't know how to control his pride, and he knows it's not exactly what's best for Doodle, but he knows it's what he wants. He feels so accomplished about teaching Doodle to walk that he thinks he's infallible, which basically means impossible to mess up or impossible to be wrong. And he just decides to teach Doodle to do all sorts of activities like swimming just after teaching him to walk, simply because Doodle being able to walk isn't enough for him. He's still mad about having a crippled brother.
Yeah, I think he's trying to create, to mold Doodle into the brother he wished he had, the one who can do everything that he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, kind of like a puppet or a toy. And this will lead to Doodle's death because of it's just too much for his heart, and the exertion just overtakes him. So our third quote is, "I should have already admitted my defeat, but my pride wouldn't let me. We still had kept on with the tired dogness," which is found on page 350. I think the narrator's pride caused both him and Doodle to persevere through what neither of them wanted.
The narrator even admits in this part of the story that his pride is kind of overcoming him, but that doesn't mean he's going to stop trying anyways. You can see throughout the story that his pride just kind of evolves, and it kind of, the narrator's perception of Doodle really blurs, and I feel like the narrator just isn't realizing that this isn't what Doodle wants. Doodle probably doesn't really know what he wants. He's like a 6-year-old. So the narrator's just trying to shape him into this brother that Doodle just simply isn't. He's not someone else. He's just Doodle.
Right, and I think this teaches us a really good lesson about we can't control other people. We just have to, the only people we can control are ourselves, and if we don't like the way other people treat us or treat other people or just live their life, we can't change that.
Our fourth and final quote to analyze with our thematic lens is, "The knowledge that Doodle's plans had come to naught was bitter, and that streak of cruelty within me awakened. For a long, long time, it seemed like forever, I lay there crying," which is on pages 353 and 354. This quote takes place when, during and after Doodle dies from overexertion, because the narrator just leaves him there. They were working on their skills because of the whole development program that the narrator made for Doodle. And the Doodle hears the storm come, and the narrator hears the storm coming. So he just decides to run, and he just leaves Doodle behind. And Doodle tries to keep up, but it's too much for his tiny little heart, and he ends up dying from overexertion. And that's when the narrator's pride slaps him in the face. The only reason Doodle is dead is because the narrator's pride and his anger for having a crippled brother was driving him to make Doodle into someone else, and Doodle just couldn't. He literally couldn't be someone else.
The narrator's heated the moment idea to keep running, even when he knew Doodle wouldn't be able to keep up, led to Doodle's death, and the narrator has to bear the shame of Doodle's death, which was basically his fault.
Next up, we have a 4-tiered reading with one quotation. We're going to take this one quotation from the Scarlet Ibis and analyze it and look at it from 4 different tiers. Our first tier is, what is literally going on here? Our second tier is going to be, what is the figurative meaning of the sentence? What can you read into in the sentence? Our third tier is, reflect personally in the sentence. What does it mean to you? How can you see the concept of the sentence playing out in your life? What does it remind you of? And our fourth and final tier is, what does the sentence call you to do? How do you want to behave differently based on the meaning of this sentence? To start off, here's our quote from the Scarlet Ibis that we'll be looking at.
So our quote for this is, "But all of us must have something or someone to be proud of, and Doodle has become mine. I did not know then that pride is a wonderful, terrible thing, a seed that bears 2 vines, life and death." And this is found on page 347.
Our first tier, what is literally going on here? We kind of looked at this quote and discovered that the narrator is elaborating on how his prideful attitude towards Doodle took shape, as well as foreshadowing both the good and bad consequences. You know, from this program that the narrator makes, Doodle learns to walk, which is great, but eventually it just evolves into something where the narrator kind of loses sight of who Doodle really is, and it ultimately leads to his death. And so I feel like this quote really just shows how the narrator, as he's looking back on this, because the story is kind of a flashback, how he realizes how his pride kind of took shape and developed over time.
Yeah, so I also think that the narrator is probably, most likely, has learned from this experience, and he's just reminiscing back on this and telling others, hey, this is what I did, this was not a good thing to do, and you should learn from my mistake.
And I really feel like this quote is kind of directed at an audience. The author is trying to get us to learn something through the quote, through the character. Like, it almost feels like it's telling us not to be too proud of anything, or else it's going to come back and just, it's going to have consequences.
Our second tier is discovering the figurative meaning of the sentence and how we can read into the sentence even farther. So when it says that pride has two sides, life and death, I thought of the quote from the Bible, I am the vine, you are the branches, where it depicts God as the vine and God has the power of life and death, which could be emotional or physical, and I think this foreshadows Doodle's death in the end.
Yeah, it kind of shows how this quote, the life and death part especially applies to Doodle, because Doodle almost gets a life. He can now walk. He's learning to do all sorts of things. He goes out into the swamp and has fun with his brother. He has a life. He gets to do fun things. But ultimately, it ends rather quickly in death because of the narrator's pride and shame. And I also really liked how you connected it to the Bible. I feel like that was a really good connection between a parable and the Scarlet Ibis. So for our third tier, we're each going to have different responses because it wants us to reflect personally on the sentence and what it means to us as individuals. So for this, I kind of wanted to relate my pride to the narrator's, and something that I'm very proud of and have spent a lot of time working on is my theater and acting abilities, kind of like how the narrator spent so much time on Doodle. While I am generally pretty good, I was in the fall play and I have a significant role in the upcoming Shakespeare production, I feel like sometimes it kind of gets to my head, similar to how the narrator kind of loses sight of who Doodle really is. I think I kind of lose sight of how acting is really about being together. It's about being in a group, and this quote is calling me to be humble, because I feel like sometimes when I'm on the stage, I almost feel like it's all about me, and this quote is kind of a wake-up call, because I have to remember that there's no I in theater. It's about a group.
I also want to relate this to my pride, because especially with my younger sister, she sometimes says things, facts that she thinks that are true, but I know they're not, and I'll argue, and I'll tell them she's wrong. She won't believe me, but I will fight for a long time to say that she is wrong, I'm right, and this is why. And this often gets her mad, which can last throughout the whole day, and I often end feeling ashamed of my actions because I know that in my heart I didn't want to make her mad. So our fourth tier is figuring out what this sentence or quote calls us to do and how can we behave differently because of this quote. I think that I will definitely spend more time thinking before I do or say anything because it can affect somebody else more than I know, because everybody has their internal struggles that most of the time they're not going to just scream off rooftops that, hey, my life's not going so well right now, and we need to respect everybody's own personal situations.
On that note, I agree with Liz, because sometimes I feel like my head is kind of in the cloud. I'm not very down to earth, and sometimes I need a wake-up call. I need to try and stay humble so I don't have to deal with dire consequences. And while being proud of my abilities might not kill a young child, there are still repercussions to everything involving pride.
We're going to end this podcast with some blessings for characters that we relate to or we wish we could help in some way. I think I'm going to bless Doodle and the narrator's parents, because in the story they don't pay much attention to their kids, which is part of the reason the narrator took it upon himself to teach Doodle how to walk, because the parents basically sat back and resigned themselves to the fact that Doodle's going to die, they can't do anything about it, and they didn't try to make his life any better, even if it is short. And so I think this is kind of how the boys got outside in the first place and how Doodle died, because they weren't they didn't have that much attention to give to their children when they needed it most. And I think this also relates back to today in modern society, where there's kids in foster homes because their parents neglected them and don't care about them. And so I think if all the parents could possibly, if they have time, they should show a bit more attention and love to their children.
So the character I've decided to bless is actually the Scarlet Ibis itself. I know the bird and its death are necessary to the plot, symbolism, and foreshadowing in the story, but the poor thing just gets swept away by some random storm and ends up dying a very painful death in some random person's lawn. While the bird is necessary to the plot, I feel like it deserved better. It just kind of comes out of the blue and shows up. I also kind of relate to the bird, because similarly to how the bird dies just after its first appearance in the story, my character, Rudy Schurz, despite being very important to the story of a murder is announced, gets brutally murdered in the second scene of the entire play. So I definitely feel like I kind of relate to the bird, because I have played a similar role in a story before. My character was super important to the storyline, but he died literally immediately after appearing on stage. We hope you enjoyed our podcast on the Scarlet Ibis, and we hope you'll be back for more podcasts in the future.